You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
For the cheeseheads who want it fresh and the ones who think Lambeau is a cathedral, this is Pat's What She Said. Now, here's Perry Goldstein and Maggie Loney.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pat's What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. Thank you to those of you that joined us on our live earlier this week as all of the breaking news happened in the legal tampering window of free agency. But now that things have settled down and contracts are becoming official, we thought we'd hop on here and do our regular episode and kind of talk about some of those signings in more detail now that the sting of some of the other moves have kind of settled a little bit. So fun show today, talking about what this 2024 Packers team, you know, is poised to look like. Josh Jacobs inked the contract just today on March 14th. Rob Domofsky reported that Xavier McKinney's should be done tomorrow. So Perry, let's dive into these guys, because I know we spent kind of some of that initial show talking about the departures and didn't really focus too much here on the additions, but I think it's really exciting for the Packers, and you can tell they have an emphasis on young, explosive players going into these second long-term contracts.
Yeah. Yeah, I think today's show we wanted to focus on who is going to be staying with the team and or the new additions to the team, basically focusing on the 2024 Packers and the two big names who you have already mentioned, being Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. We'll hit on some of the other names the Packers have re-signed, a few guys that were on the 2023 team. There's also some interest happening, you know, potentially they're in the market for some additional players, but Josh Jacobs did sign his 4-year contract. He does get that $12.5 million guaranteed. He's now RB1 for the Packers. new RB1 in town. Weird. Yes. But Josh Jacobs brings a really interesting skill set to this team. You know, he's definitely a heftier back than we're used to. I say that in a good way. He's a really strong, solid based back. I feel like, I don't know if that makes sense, but like when you think of Josh Jacobs, it's like he's a tough guy to bring down. And yes, I think when you watch him play, that's like very apparent, right? He's going to make guys miss. He's really hard to tackle. He's a lot of missed tackles. He's going to get yards after contact. Which is great. That's what you want out of your back. He's going to turn 3 yards into 5. He's going to turn 5 yards into 10. If he finds a hole, he's going to hit that hole. He hasn't always had a great line to run behind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Green Bay struggled a little bit in 2023 with their run blocking, but they figured it out over the course of the season. And, you know, obviously you hope going to 2024, that's going to continue to improve. And by all accounts, I would think it's safe to say that the Green Bay line is much better than the Raiders line. So he's already coming into a better situation than the one he had before. So I think he's just a really nice addition. He's a really well-rounded back. You know, he's a pass-catching back. He's going to be great in pass pro. He's all the things that Matt LaFleur loves in a running back. They got him, I think, at a really good like value. So I'm really excited about it. I love watching him. He's got like one. I mean, I don't watch a ton of Raiders football, so Ned, I've been like, you know, kind of keyed in on this now. I'm not sure I realized his burst.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, you watch Josh Jacobs and you think about what a focal point he was, especially in 2022. He was the best back in the league in 2022. And I'm not sure I realized how much he can really turn on the Jets when he gets going. And so that's going to be really fun. Cause now when you think about the Green Bay Packers offense, you think about how much speed there is on that offense.
Which is another reason, right, that it's hard to assess certain players and their 40 times. Cause I think he ran like a low 4.6. Like it absolutely wasn't anything earth shattering. He's not one of these guys that broke the combine with his speed, but he does have like an acceleration that he kind of kicks in as he's evading defenders, which is really fun. And I think I saw that if he wasn't leading, he was at least in the top like three of missed tackles and forced broken tackles. So that's another element that we haven't necessarily seen from some of the Packers backs recently, was, you know, that ability to kind of get those last couple yards and really fight for, you know, the first down marker. So I think that's what makes it really exciting too. And he's had over 1,000 all purpose yards in every season he's been a part of. Even if he didn't eclipse 1,000 rushing yards, he's made up for it in the receiving game. So I know, you know, some Packer fans were a little concerned about that, thinking about like the wear and tear that might come with that. But we're also talking about somebody who's just a couple seasons removed from being the league rushing leader. Just a lot of upside here, and it's definitely worth it to take a swing, especially assuming that the Packers are still going to be looking potentially day two, early day three at mm-hmm. a running mate for him.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't think the Packers are going to like completely veer off course from the way that they view their running back room either. Like, this is still going to be running back by committee. They're not all of a sudden going to be like, okay, you're the workhorse now. Which is probably also going to be, you know, to his benefit, because he's not going to be taking 30 plus carries a game. That's just not something that this team has ever done to their running backs on offense. So they will get a second running back. I've heard that they really love Emmanuel Wilson and they want to give him more opportunities. I think we saw that a little bit towards the end of the season when he came back from his shoulder injury. So this is still going to be a rotation, and I think it's going to be really good for a guy like Josh Jacobs, who, like you said, has already had a lot of playing time under his belt. And he's obviously done quite well with all of that, but I think they're going to put him in a really nice position to succeed.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Let's shift then and talk about the other big name, arguably the biggest name that the Packers could have signed in free agency. Xavier McKinney coming in, obviously the safety, probably the safety that Packers fans wanted the most. I don't know if, you know, those listening, I'm sure you follow guys like Andy Herman, Ben Fennell, a ton of guys did their breakdowns on why Xavier McKinney was such a good fit for the Packers defense. So feel free to check those out if you're looking for actual video tape and footage of that. But yeah, from everything we've heard from the very beginning about Jeff Hafley and how he likes to run his defense, he couldn't have asked for a better free agent to come in than Xavier McKinney. He truly is going to play that kind of robber, middle of the defense, closed look. And it's just going to be really fun. I don't know that the Packers have made a splash like this in a while.
No, I agree with you. I think that this is like the signing. Like, this feels like the big signing. I mean, bigger than 2019, bigger than anything Goot has ever done, especially monetarily. I don't think I could be more excited. I want to temper expectations, but at the same time, why? You know, he should live up to expectations. He's been PFF's highest rated safety since he entered the league. All you need to do is watch him play, and you can understand why he had such a big market and why he was going to garner the contract that he did this offseason. You said it. I mean, he is the most well-rounded of anyone who is available this season, probably of anyone who would have been available at all in recent memory, especially at his age, right? Like, he can do it all. He has the range. He has the ball skills. He has the speed. He has the football IQ. He's a leader, right? He was the captain on the Giants. Which I think cannot be like understated on a team that is so young. I think my biggest thing, and I've said it a few times now, is that he is a playmaker. He is a playmaker. He's always around the ball. He's always making plays. If he's not the one making the play, he is influencing the person on the team who is making the play. Like, he is going to have like an immense trickle down effect, I think, to the rest of the players around him, not just in the secondary, but in the defense as a whole. And I think for a defense that has kind of been lacking that like next level up of playmakers, it's just going to be, it's going to be huge for this defense. I'm really excited to see how he just like levels up everyone around him, Jair more specifically, but also like a Carrington Valentine, right? Who he's looking to make that like year two jump. And, you know, maybe an Anthony Johnson Jr. who is also looking to make that next level jump in his career trajectory in the NFL. Same with like a Quay Walker, right? How are they going to work together? Quay is going to be unequivocally, you know, the communicator of the defense, and they're going to be able, need to be able to communicate with one another. So he's everything Jeff Hafley described as who he wants, and they got him. So, but now, like, I think now this defense is going to have very high expectations for how they perform pretty immediately. Some wiggle room, obviously, being that they have a new defensive coordinator and are probably running like a little bit of a new scheme, but they officially now have, you know, some pretty high, you know, tons of first round talent. And now this big, you know, splash signing in free agency, like, they're going to need to come out early in the season and look good.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just fun to have a safety that is always where the ball is, right? Like, it doesn't matter if he's playing in the box. It doesn't matter if he's kind of floating around post, or if he's, they've used him creatively in New York, you know, coming off a blitz. And we know that Jeff Hafley likes to use some of those creative, like, six-man stunts and pressures. So that would be fun. And even when he's not actually intercepting passes, which he had three still last season, he's always breaking up the ball, at least, which I think is something that was missing from this Packers defense last season, was actually getting the hands on the ball and contesting catches. So that's something that I think is going to be really, you know, understated too for this defense and their ability to just, you know, we know Jeff Hafley likes to play a lot of man, likes his guys to be physical, and McKinney is going to be really good at getting his hands on people and being physical and challenging at the point of the catch, which is I can't wait. I just can't wait.
11 passes defensed last season. To your point, one forced fumble, two fumble recoveries, a half sack. So yeah, he is just like, he's always making plays. He's also always doing it in a variety of different ways. So just like we said, playmaker in always looking to get in there and do something. But I think in a different way than what we've seen in past Packers safeties, where they're just like trying to make a play irrespective of whether it's like the right play or not, Xavier McKinney has a little bit of like that Adrian Amos, like always in the right place at the right time to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, so, you know, some people were a little bit concerned about potentially the fact that he's missed games and multiple seasons. But if I'm remembering correctly, I think in 2022, he had a fractured hand. So it's not like one of those things that would be an Achilles or an ACL that you would expect to like linger over time. It was just a really like freak weird thing. I think it was like a broken hand or something.
The Packers are re-signing AJ Dillon.
Okay, let's talk about that. We have breaking news while we record.
Tom Pelissero just tweeted literally 1 minute ago, so we're gonna upload this, but it's March 14th at 6:16 p.m. Eastern time. Free agent running back AJ Dillon is expected to re-sign with the Packers pending a physical.
Okay, so there's RB2. Maybe Emmanuel Wilson's 3, and depending on the length of the contract, which it doesn't look like that's come out yet, I'll be really curious if this is 1 year, if this is 2 years, or if Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon are going to be the guys now, because that also kind of tells you, doesn't it make it seem like the Packers want to get bigger?
Yeah.
Because I thought they'd go for a shifty, speedy kind of back to replace Jones, and now they're getting bulk on bulk. They have Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon.
Well, I guess Emmanuel Wilson is
I thought he was still bigger, but yeah, maybe not as big as Josh Jacobs.
Well, now we know the prototype of who they're going to look for in the draft. So I guess that really diminishes my my hope for a Blake Corum draft pick, because then that's 3 pretty hefty running backs. But wow, shocker.
Wow.
Okay, live reaction on our podcast.
I mean, I kind of like it. I know that he was maybe not as productive as Packer fans would have liked or anticipated, but I think he's always been a very good RB2, and it's going to be a frickin' slog to try and bring down Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon in December at Lambeau Field in the snow. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of levels to this. And you've got Josh Jacobs, who can be an explosive back. And Dillon is going to be a nice change up. And he had some moments where he looked really good. Jordan Love adores him. They're very close. So you also can't beat his culture and locker room fit for the team either, which is huge.
You also know that he's made it pretty clear how much he's wanted to stay in Green Bay.
Yes.
I always think about, like, he married a local girl. Her family is around. Like, he's literally called the mayor of Door County. I imagine that he went out to test the market. I'm sure that we heard of Cowboys and like 2 or 3 other teams that were interested in signing him.
I think we're one. Texans, maybe. Yep,
exactly. So it's not to say that, like, we know that there was a market for him, but maybe staying put. We'll see what the contract is. We do not know anything about the money yet or the amount of years, but potentially staying put was a decision that meant more to him than anything else. Okay.
Breaking news. I could absolutely see him taking a very, very vet min kind of contract to be RB3.
It's, you know what I mean? Like, choice for him, though, for his year, or right, where he's at his career, though, mm-hmm, right? Because this
would be his good contract that he should be looking for.
Yeah. So maybe he knows, this is me speculating now, but, you know, maybe he knows he didn't have the year that he wanted to in his contract year. And the Packers know his value. He knows what he can bring. And if he re-ups and has a really great season, mm-hmm, does a 1 to 2 year deal, right? Has a year or two of great seasons again, then he can go and get a bigger deal. Because maybe he tested the market and he wasn't getting anywhere near of what he wanted, would be my guess as to what happened.
And I think it's also really telling, you know, we talked about it a little bit when we did our live. We've seen analysts reporting it all week, but the fact that the running back market has been so hot in free agency tells you all you need to know about this draft class. And there's some good names, right? I know Blake Corum's up there. People love him. Jonathan Brooks from Texas. Like, there's still fun players to find and acquire, but I think the riches are kind of few and far between as well. And I think that's why it's good to go in with reliable guys. And if AJ Dillon has a 2-year contract, you know, your rookie pick could be in like halfway through his deal at that point. So it's all just insurance. And these are, it's an oft injured position, right? You're playing running back. You're getting hit every time you touch the ball. Like, it's good to have depth there because we saw what happened throughout the season with the wear and tear that they take on their bodies.
Right. Okay. So that's one of a few players that the Packers have brought back. Actually, so another big contract. I think I want your thoughts on this because I have mine, but I want yours. The Packers brought back Keyshawn Nixon, which I was also very pleasantly surprised to see. I thought it would happen, but you never know. But they brought him back on a decent deal, right? He's done 2 1-year contracts with the Packers, and then they bring him back now on a 3-year, $18 million deal. There's some incentives that can get him back, get him up to 19.2 as a max. It was reported that he was one of their priorities, which was an interesting additive, I thought. I was, again, glad to hear that because two seasons in a row, all pro returner, just hard to find guys like that. And obviously their starting slot corner played the most snaps in the slot of anyone in the league. Slot is a tough position. It's one you and I have talked about a ton as a potential need. I know we feel the pendulum swings on how you and I feel about Keyshawn in the slot, but regardless, having a solid slot corner and or depth cornerback to the level that Keyshawn can play is so valuable. And I think he's very deserving of this contract, but the number really shocked me. So I want your thoughts on just the whole situation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I was surprised at first when I saw the number because I think it depends. If the Packers feel that he is their starting slot, then the number makes a ton of sense. You would pay that to any starting slot free agent that you're looking to bring in. If he's primarily a special teamer and like CB4 on your depth chart or like maybe just comes in and dime, then it feels a little bit rich. But he's also been an all-pro for you 2 seasons in a row on special teams. He's a vocal leader. He played really well in the playoffs, I thought. So depending on how Jeff Heflin like views him and wants to use him, he will only play better opposite Xavier McKinney if they bring in another linebacker. Like if he truly is going to have a home in the slot, McKinney's going to make that easier. Quay Walker should help, you know, kind of man that middle of the defense. So I like it as an insurance policy. I just am curious if they're still going to kind of bring in competition or if they feel that strongly that he is the fit there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a lot of variables here with this, right? Like I do, to your point, think they still draft someone, but now I think it takes off so much of the pressure of a rookie or whoever else they bring, assuming it's a draft pick, starting immediately. right? Which is always better than having just like an immediate rookie start in a very difficult position to play, right? So I like it. Second variable being we have no idea the way that Jeff Hafley like wants to play him or utilize him. So like that's like a huge question mark that we're just not going to know until probably at least training camp, if not like week one. I think you make a good point is like the contract looks like a starting slot corner contract. So you can like kind of make assumptions there, but at the same time, like, you know, I don't know. And I don't know if that's really where he's best fit, but if you listen to Pack-A-Day, Andy Herman makes a really good point, which is that like, he's actually a pretty solid slot corner if you compare him to some of the guys that when you think of starting slot corners as being like the top dogs, like he's not graded that much lower than like a Trent McDuffie.
And it is hard to play slot.
Exactly. The point being like it's a really, really hard position to play because like think about how many different types of guys line up in the slot. You know, you get like a Travis Kelce, and then you get like a Jaden Reed, you know, that you have to go up against, like just a huge range of different body types. So there is also, you know, all of that to contend with. So all that to say, to sum up, I'm very happy Keyshawn Nixon's back.
Yes.
I think letting him walk, I would have thought was a missed opportunity. I think cumulative of what he's brought to the Packers, he very much deserves this contract, and I'm glad he's going to stick with the team. I'm curious to see how they use him and where they value him, like where Jeff Hafley values him and what they do with this position in general moving forward. I still think it's worth taking someone for like that future spot. But yeah, my initial reaction, same as you, was like, wow, that's a high number.
I also would just like to say before we move on that the amount of shit that this secondary is going to talk with Keyshawn Nixon, Jair, Carrington Valentine, and Xavier McKinney is, it's ridiculous. Like, they're going to have receivers so deep in their feelings, and it's just going to be hysterical. Like, if you talk about a mentality and a swagger, and like, yeah, the secondary is going to be loaded, and it's going to be just a ton of fun to watch.
I love it. I actually love it. It's going to be awesome. That's what your secondary should be. They should think that they are the best of the best. You need to be goldfish memory. If you watch Ted Lasso, some few quick ones, mainly special teamers. Corey Valentine is back. Tyler Davis is back. Christian Welch is back. Obviously, like I said, mostly special teams guys, mostly depth guys, but I think very good to have those guys back. Tyler Davis, obviously the big one coming off of the ACL. I imagine we'll also still get some snaps on offense, but we all know who the starting tight ends are.
I think he's a really interesting TE3 too. Like Josiah DeGuara, we'll see. He's one of the players that I feel like I've heard literally zero about this entire free agency. No idea what the interest is, and you know, if he's would also take a cheap discount to come back to Green Bay, because, you know, the Packers front office really liked him, but kind of a weird, like hybrid, like H-back fullback kind of player that I don't know what the market is there, but I loved the Tyler Davis story, you know, the gruesome injury, getting to kind of be a coach all season and stay on the sidelines and be with the team, like a very good tight end three, even just from like a football IQ standpoint. Like, you know, he's not going to be necessarily competing for snaps with Kraft and Musgrave, but a very good locker room person to have. And I think a reliable option if, you know, if needed, but not thinking he's going to, like you said, he's not going to go out there and get like 20 snaps a game.
No, but I think like great to have him back. And like you said, it's someone they like, I think just like clearly value. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was their top special teamer, and I don't know, special teams kind of was like without him. So, you know, maybe there's something there. Okay. Before we wrap, there was some new, I mean, we got breaking news on the show. So I'm not sure if this was supposed to be the big news for the show. And we got one up by Tom Pelissero, but there was some buzz this evening that there is mutual interest between the Packers and Micah Hyde, former Green Bay Packer.
For those of you that lived under a rock and did not recall.
That, you know, they're in talks potentially to have Micah Hyde come back. So quick recap, he was on the Packers from 2013 to 2016. He was obviously drafted. And then he's been on the Buffalo Bills ever since. It's an interesting one because as the Packers look to get younger, Micah Hyde is obviously a little bit of an anomaly in this situation because he is 33. But he has been playing so well. Like, he has not hit that drop off. He, you know, he missed a lot of time in 2022, but he was a second team All Pro in 2021, did not miss a single game, played 14 games in 2023, still had a fantastic season in 2023. I mean, the Bills simply are letting players go because they are just so strapped for cash. I mean, they have no cap space. You know, he still had 2 interceptions, 7 passes defensed, 54 tackles. So a tackle for a loss. I mean, Micah Hyde can still play even at his ripe old age of 33. So I know Packers fans would really love a reunion, and it would maybe be a little balm for the sting that has been this week, but curious your thoughts on him coming in as what would be, like, you know, a tandem to a Xavier McKinney.
I guess I'm like trying not to think about it until it's reported by people that are a little more maybe in the know. Like, I'm having a hard time like seeing the confirmed interest, or I'm not doubting that it's potentially there, but it would be really interesting, right, too, because it was a Ted Thompson pickup and Goody is the new GM, and, you know, he was on the staff for that. But I don't know, it just feels like with the way that the Packers are trying to get so young, and he would be great in the locker room, he can still play. I think he'd be like your ideal sub package kind of safety, even though I think he could be more than that. But where I think he'd be really interesting is like kind of how they used Morgan Burnett towards the end of his career, and where we saw him in Cleveland, where he played like the hybrid box safety. And I don't know if, you know, Micah would be interested in doing that, but he has such a really good middle of his career, and he can still play ball, still such a knowledgeable player that, you know, he would make such an impact on the defense just from a brain perspective as well as a talent perspective. So it would be amazing. It would be so fun to have him back, but I don't know. I remain skeptical of everything until it happens.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I saw it trending, so thought we would have some fun with some free agency speculation. And there are a lot of safeties still available. Mm-hmm. A few names that you and I have thrown out there. Cameron Curl also being one of them. Isaiah Simmons is still available. Justin Simmons is still available. So the Packers could still make a few moves if they wanted to. They also still have the cash. We'll definitely be curious to hear what the AJ Dillon contract is when it comes out. But overall, as we wrap, this was a crazy week. I don't think the Packers have ever been this involved. How are you feeling about their moves that they made and the additions?
So I think it's really hard just at this very moment to say that the offense got better, because you're kind of swapping Josh Jacobs for Aaron Jones, and that's kind of like a TBD, like, to see. And they lost John Runyon Jr., obviously, who was one of their starters. So maybe they feel really good about Sean Ryan. Maybe they're going to take someone to be their starter in the draft. So, like, I think the offense, you could say, is like kind of a wash at this point. Didn't really get worse, didn't necessarily get better, got younger, but the defense got better. Even with their losses, the defense got significantly better just by having the kind of safety that they acquired. So that's where it gets really exciting, is the arrow we thought was pointing up towards the end of the season. You get a new defensive coordinator. You've got an abundance of riches in the draft to go and get however many guys you want. the offense was by nature just ascending because they were playing really good football towards the end of the season. So I'm not worried about the offense, and I'm feeling significantly better about the defense than I would have if maybe they took, like, I don't know, Jordan Whitehead and said, let's go get our guy in the draft. And that's no disrespect to Jordan Whitehead. It's just, it's kind of what I expected them to do, was take like one or two of the middle level safeties and then see what happens. But they went out and got the absolute cream of the crop, best player available. And just by nature of doing that, really, really exciting. So yeah, I think the Packers definitely got better this week.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like, for me, anything on offense was kind of like, sure. Like, it just didn't feel like a priority. And this move is really an interesting one. I think you said it perfectly. It's really a remain to be seen. It didn't feel necessary, per se. I would have been fine if they had left things as is. So I'm really curious. I think Josh Jacobs is going to bring a really interesting element to the offense, and I have full confidence in Matt LaFleur to use him in a really creative way. So excited for that. To adding, yes?
The AJ Dillon stuff is being released. The Packers used a very rare 4-year qualifying offer to keep him around, and it's basically it's like a vet salary benefit, and it can be offered to a player who has at least 4 credited seasons whose contract with a team has expired after being on said team for 4 or more consecutive uninterrupted league years prior to their contract expiring.
What?
So it looks like it's like, it doesn't look like it's going to be a lot of money, is what I've gathered.
I just saw a 1-year deal worth up to $1.35 million more than the minimum. So it's vet min plus an extra like $1.3 mil. Solid deal for Green Bay, shows either Dylan wanted to stay or his market didn't go as expected. So basically what we just discussed.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. There you have it.
Qualifying offer. I'm like, that sounds like a baseball term. What are we in the MLB?
But they are letting Russ Ball cook.
Russ Ball is pitching a shutout.
All right. Well, there you go.
Okay. Here we are. To wrap up, offense already good. We'll probably stay good. Defense got unequivocally better.
Yes.
Ta-da.
Done and done.
Done and done.
All right. This was a lot of fun. Crazy to see the Packers involved. We joked, you know, right on Tuesday that the Packers are always the bridesmaid, never the bride. They're just the negotiating chip for so many people. And here they got to walk down the aisle this time. They were the bride, and they got to say I do to Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. And that's how we are going to wrap this show. We'll be back next week. If the Packers make any more moves, we'll see. Obviously, news broke while we were recording, so it does tend to happen that way when we jump on here. We'll see what happens next week. But yeah, thank you for joining us for one or both shows this week. We always appreciate it. You can find us on Twitter/X at PWSS Podcast. You can find Perry at Perry_Goldstein. You can find me at Maggie J. Loney. On all other socials at Pax What She Said. If you don't already follow us on YouTube, please go ahead and like and subscribe to the show. We super appreciate it. And if you're still listening on all of the audio platforms, please make sure to download those as well, because it really helps out our listening numbers. Thank you. And as always, go Pack Go.